Does navigating the remodeling world make you feel like you're in a circus? Rosie's friends from TWD Design, Build, and Remodel are here to help you figure it all out. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Yes, remodeling can feel like a circus sometimes. More than, Todd, I would say it's not a science, right?
No, it's not a science.
I mean, it's much different than building a subdivision of homes where we can actually tell a plumber, okay, we want you to start five homes a week. It's plan A, B, or C. You can do the same thing with the electrician, the drywaller, the roofer, the cabinet man, and everybody else. Remodeling, we're actually bringing the factory into someone's existing living environment.
You're right, and that's a whole other animal compared to the production thing. The unknown in remodeling is the circus of remodeling.
And we can see home builders putting up complete homes. Cost of building the homes, you know, for anywhere $60 to $90 a square foot. I mean, we can't even get in and hardly paint a room for $60 a square foot. I mean, we're bringing everything to the home. We were talking about bathroom remodeling before, and we're addressing the remodeling cost versus value report. You can find that at remodelingmagazine.com. Master bathroom remodel in the Phoenix area. For a mid-range bathroom remodel, we're talking a room that's 5 foot by 7. The mid-range price is going to be about $15,000. The upscale is going to be about $50,000. So that's anywhere from $440 a square foot to almost $1,500 a square foot. We've got Ron LaBrie, the design manager at TWD Design Build Remodel. Ron, you're out there visiting with people all the time about what they're trying to get done at their house. What are you seeing?
Rosie, it's really interesting. You know, I believe that people have this pent-up energy and they're wanting to do something to their house, especially those people that have been in their house for a while. And they're choosing to do their master bathrooms. Many of our customers are choosing to do their master bathroom. My personal feeling is that, you know, it's stressful. Everyone has a stressful life and they want a little bit of a spa experience. And we spend so much time in our bathrooms getting ready and, you know, dressing, et cetera. And so they're choosing to spend their resources on their bathroom remodel at this point. What I'm really seeing is nobody has the time to take a bath anymore. So more and more customers, I would say customers are wanting to get rid of their bathtub and get one very large shower, oftentimes with a hand shower and a seat, sometimes with two shower heads, so that two people can actually use that. And most of us take showers in the morning, whereas to take a bath, you really have to spend some time to calculate and plan for that, not to mention what it costs to fill up a 50-gallon tub.
Well, the last bathtub we put in, they actually requested a sound system and mood lights. I mean, okay, we can do whatever you want. But, you know, are y'all seeing many of these walk-in, sit-down bathtubs?
I'm surprised that we're not seeing that much.
Yeah.
In our older community, Sun City, we are seeing some of those, but just as many as I'm seeing requests for that, I'm seeing requests to take those out, because the Sun City caliber of homeowner is changing. We're becoming more active. We're living longer.
Sure.
And so we're designing a lot of those features into a custom shower without having to do a fiberglass walk-in, sit-down type of shower.
All right, fantastic. So that's what we're beginning to see all around. I've had a few requests for those sit-down, but the only thing I've heard is that because the door opens out, okay, you have to get in, sit down, fill it up, and then you have to sit there while it's draining the whole time. I don't know what the drain time is, but I don't know. I guess you just take a warm towel and put it over your shoulder or something. I don't know. They seem very intriguing to me. I have yet to put one in. Jennifer, who have we got on the line? I know we've got a few people on hold. Let's get to some callers.
We have Joe in Phoenix. Yeah. He has an insulation question this morning.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Rosie. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. I hope you are, too.
I am. We had a company come out and look at our insulation in our attic. And they told us that we're low on it, but we also had two types, the fiberglass blown and the cellulose blown. And then they told us in order to increase that insulation, we have to put both types back in, that they just couldn't put one type over the other. I was wondering if that's accurate and what advice you might have.
Joe, what were they – they wanted to come back and just where you had cellulose, put cellulose, and where you had the blown cotton or rock wool, they wanted to put that in, the fiberglass?
Yeah, two different types, so two different costs.
Todd, I'm not familiar with not being able to intermingle insulation.
Nor am I, Rosie. Maybe Tom, do you get anything on that?
I haven't heard that they don't. They're not compatible with each other. But you know, I don't see why.
You
got
to do a little math. Okay, I got 6.5 inches of fiberglass, and I got 3.5 inches of cellulose. There's a little extrapolation of math to establish what R value you really have. But I'll tell you what, Joe, none of us being familiar with the incompatibility of insulation, why don't you just give Banker Insulation a call and ask them?
Banker?
Mm-hmm.
Here's their number for you.
Okay.
602-273-1261.
1261?
Yeah. Yeah, and Joe, what kind of insulation value were you being encouraged to go to?
It was like an R10 or something, R15, something like that.
Okay, in the attic, you're going to want to be at about R30 or R38.
I think that's the numbers they were using.
Yeah, okay. They may be telling you you're at an effective R10 right now. And get that up to an R30, R38. A lot of times what we hear is homeowners being told that they need an R60 in the attic, and you don't. That's a waste of money, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, man. Appreciate the call. All right, were we going to try and call Romy and see what he's up to?
Sure, we'll get him in here in a few minutes.
All right, who else have we got on the line? Let's go ahead and take the next caller then.
We have Jeff. He has a question on lean-to flashing choices.
Okay, Jeff?
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Okay, paint us a picture of what you want to do.
Okay, 15 years ago on my house, I built a shed for my lawnmower and stuff, and I put a lean-to type roof. It's probably a 112 pitch. It's not very much pitch to it. And I at the wall where the roof comes to the wall, I went ahead and just bent some flashing and put that up there, and that's been okay over the years. But I know there's a better way to do that. I've seen, as I drive by houses and stuff that have flat roofs and stuff, there's a metal piece that looks like you score the wall, insert it in there, and then you slide the rolling up underneath a kind of a flap. I don't know if I'm...
Yeah, yeah. Is the wall material stucco?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And is it stucco over foam? It's a framed house?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How big a shed are we talking? Is it 6 foot, 8 foot, 10 foot?
Oh, it's pretty big. It's 10 by 18. So the 18 is the long that runs along the wall.
Got a John Deere lawnmower is what I got.
Well,
going
I got
on
a few other things in there too, but there is a lawnmower in there.
Well, let's see. If Todd, if you're gonna add in a patio roof, which is essentially what we have, into the stucco, what are y'all gonna do?
Yeah, we're gonna cut back to get into that behind the foam and stuff, and then I'm going to let Tom take this question.
You're gonna cut the stucco, gonna cut the foam, you're gonna all go all the way back to the shear panel and do what?
Yeah, we need to, once we mount that ledger board, what we need to do is we need to get behind that black paper. So when we get behind that black paper, we can actually tuck a flashing in there and to seal that surface, so that way that doesn't have any backlash and water leaking inside the house.
Jeff, the flashing actually has to slip back behind the foam, between the foam and the shear panel or the foam and the studs, whatever it is. And that can get tricky because there can be some nails up there and in the way, and you got to kind of find those and pull them, and you're doing a little stucco damage, but you're gonna have to bring a stucco guy in to kind of patch it all up in a way. So we call it a Z-bar flashing.
Okay, all right. That's why I wanted to know what the name of it is. Okay.
And then you lay it out on top of your roofing material. You don't put that under your roofing material.
I understand.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's what I needed to know.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. We appreciate the call.
All right,
thanks
bye-bye.
A million. All right. All right. Let's talk a little bit about. We were talking about trends a few minutes ago. We're talking about. What process do you guys see that works? You know, I have a lot of homeowners that will call me and get me out of the house and say, Rosie, we just know we want to do something, but they don't know where to start. Ron, where do you get them started?
And when we go out for an initial consultation, that's the key, is talking to the customer and finding out what their wants and needs are. Many times they don't necessarily know, and so it's almost like a psychological profile to where if we do the best job we can finding out what their wants and needs are, then we have a better chance of giving them what they want. Many times they don't know what they want, but when we start asking questions, it all start and we start giving options, then they can really come to and make an educated choice on, oh, this is really what I want.
Have your clients found this website? What is it, Jennifer? House,
H-O-U-Z-Z.
Have your clients mentioned that website at all?
Actually, quite a few of my clients, if I'm doing a kitchen or a bathroom remodel, it's not uncommon for them to pull out their iPad and have pictures of Howes. And
what is it? I have to say, I haven't been on it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's a design and remodeling website that features designers. Remodel companies can put their finished pictures on there. They've got categories for just entry doors. They've got categories for kitchens, for bathrooms, and anything in between.
See, I'm still old school. When a client calls me and we're making an appointment to come out, I'll encourage them. Now, look, between now and then, I can very seldom get out there within a day or two. It's a couple weeks, and I tell them, look, but before I come out there, just get some Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, some Architectural Digest, and just tear out pictures of things that you like. But I guess we don't do that anymore.
This is an electronic version of that. It's kind of
the
kind
next
of
generation, guys. Come on now. Got to reach these younger people, right?
All right. Well, let's see. Do we want to run up to Romy here? We've got Romy broadcasting live from Heber Overgaard, actually Bison Ranch, where we're doing the Rosie on the House Crawfish Festival. Have we got Romy on?
Can you hear me this time?
I got you, buddy.
All right, we are. It's filling up. You know, all the shops at the Bison Ranch, which is a number of them different. We got an outdoor shop, a trinket shop. There's seven or eight of them. They'll all be open here in the next 15 minutes. The courtyard's been buzzing since 6 o'clock this morning. We've got 1,200 pounds of crawfish we shipped in for pre-orders. We've got 700 minimum that we've trapped locally that'll be for open source. So, and this could actually, we're gonna have to change this to from like the crawfish festival to the Crawfish Educational and Cultural Day. I mean, you would not believe the variety of people from Asian. I mean, when Katrina and Rita tore up the crawfish industry in Louisiana in 2005, we learned how big of an industry that was in Asia. I cannot tell you how many have shown up. A lot of people from Sweden. They're from Sweden, so of course they like crawfish. We don't exactly understand or know what that means, but there's a lot of them here. We have, of course, every Cajun that you thought or didn't know lived in Arizona has showed up. You also have a lot of people that are just Southeastern Conference fans. The first person I saw in here had a big old Florida Gator decal on his shirt, and he saw me, and he had probably assumed by the crawfish shirt I'm wearing and the cowboy hat and this broadcast equipment who I was, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I wore this shirt for you." This was on purpose. So we've got crawfish. We'll start serving at noon. We've got the DJ that starts at noon. We have the Taylor Family Circus that'll do face painting and stilt walking and juggling and entertaining. They'll show up about that same time. The crawfish eating contest starts at 3 o'clock. The winner of that gets a $200 gift certificate to Sportsman's Warehouse to use as they wish. And then the live music starts about 4. It's James Bailey and the Arizona Zydeco Band, and they'll be playing till dark.
That's probably about the time we'll be getting there. So, all right, we'll check in with you one more time a little bit later. Thanks a bunch. We've got to take a break right now, folks. It's Rosie on the House. That was Romy at the Crawfish Festival. We've got TWD, Design, Build, and Remodel, here in studio to talk to you about your questions about any remodeling project you'd like to discuss.